Welcome to Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly, a podcast where we share news, information, resources, tips and tricks about dyscalculia. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes and then search for Dyscalculia Headlines. You can also find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com and then click on the podcast page.
Skills to distinguish developmental dyscalculia from typical developing students. Numeracy difficulties in adulthood. What is different and the same in learning disabilities? Requesting accommodations for testing. And how dyscalculia and dyslexia can differ. This is our podcast week 10 in 2023. And we welcome Dr. Schroeder, the founder of Dyscalculia Services. She's going to help us make sense of the links that we posted on Dyscalculia Headlines this week. Welcome, Dr. Schroeder.
But always great to be here.
Yeah, so happy to see you again here. We have all these links and we need some of your thoughts about those. The first one is about how do we distinguish developmental dyscalculia from typical developing students. How do we do that?
Yeah, that is obviously a very important question that we all are interested in. And this research has been done by scientists actually from Beijing in China. All and right. It was published in the Journal of Learning Disabilities. Now, they wanted to detect underlying domain-specific and domain-general differences. So what does that mean? The domain-specific means those are the centers specifically used for doing math. Right. And domain-general differences, that is, for instance, attention and general memory that
executive
are
function,
located
those kind of things.
In
okay.
other parts of the brain.
Okay.
But they influence the math too.
Right.
So now they want to compare typically developing students with those who had a problem with math. And they had a database of 1,675 students,
okay.
nine-year-old students,
okay.
to work with.
That's
and
good.
After first screening, they found 75 as having developmental dyscalculia. And then they also did a follow-up. And there were 13 students included, and they looked at the development of those kids over a two-year period,
okay.
so till they were 11.
It's good research again.
Right. Follow-up research is always important. So they actually used several ways to see the difference between typically developing students and those who had the dyscalculia. So the tasks could be number sense, finger sense, shifting tasks, so doing something and then having to go to something else, and the one back task.
Okay.
Now, what is a one back task? Not everybody will be familiar
no,
with
no.
that. It's actually a thing where you measure the continuous performance of a student, and you need to employ memory to do this task well, both short-term and working memory. So also there's an executive part in this. It's a little bit like memory because you are supposed to remember what was, in this case, one back, the what is presented or heard before the item, so you hear or see a lot of items one after the other, sequential order.
Okay.
And you need to remember, was this the same as the one back,
I've seen that on game shows.
Or was it the same as two back, which
right.
is obviously a lot harder.
It's complicated, yes.
Yeah. So just to tell you what that test is about. And actually,
so what did they find out?
Yeah, they found out that the students with developmental dyscalculia actually did worse on those tests I mentioned. And they also saw that if you look at it together, that it was not only the domain-specific issues that they had, the non-symbolic magnitude representation, huh, where you connect a number with a magnitude, a written number, but also domain general executive function contributes to dyscalculia. So
now you have to check both.
Exactly. Well, that's actually what we always do in our test. Yes, you do need to test both. But that might not have been known to everybody.
Okay. So good research. Good research. Definitely. Our next link talks about numeracy difference in adulthood. Is that a thing? Don't you grow out of that?
Yeah, you wish. you know better than actually. Well, this is actually at the dyslexia.uk website. And no, unfortunately, you do not grow out of dyscalculia. And the numeracy problems can stay with you if you do not get a remediation. And it can actually influence you your whole adulthood. So the point here in the article from the UK is that most people, when they have trouble reading and writing, tend to hide those issues. However, many people, strangely, are vocal about their troubles with math, as if that is not an issue at all. And that is in itself an issue. They feel often more free to talk about it at the birthday party and other gatherings, and they just say, "Oh, I'm not a math person,"
and
nobody is supposed to be surprised of that. So that actually is not good, as many of those troubles with math, they could, first of all, come from very different causes and may not have anything to do with dyscalculia.
Mm-hmm.
But since so many people talk about their trouble not being a math person and trouble with math, it kind of drowns out, it masks those people who have a real serious learning disability. And we really encourage all adults who feel that they cannot keep up with the math in their lives, go to a website, read about it. For instance, adultdyscalculia.org comes to mind, and see if they can find some answers and help.
Good advice, good advice. Now, the next link is about what is the same and what is different with learning disabilities. What can we learn here?
Now, this comes from the Help Guide, and it's a really interesting article. I can only suggest that you click on it and read it through, because it lists general warning signs very early for toddlers already, before they go to school, warning signs for learning disabilities. Then it also goes into more specifics about the various learning disabilities. Now, some warning signs can be the same, and it's a great list, but parents and teachers need to be aware when something appears not to go well. Then the large comorbidity, that it occurs together, mm-hmm. of dyslexia, dyscalculia, and ADHD make it really a little bit more tricky, but also useful to first recognize that there is something that we need to look into.
Right.
There is a learning disability. And then later on, we can look in more detail and find out what
which one is it. Right.
What is it? And that obviously is the key to what you need to do to help. And we have mentioned it earlier. Learning disabilities can have vastly different symptoms. But their main advice is here, if you are worried, do not wait. And they actually printed it in a big red box, and rightfully so, as this is key. So the sooner the better to help your child reach his potential and not let it slip.
Cool. Now, our next link is about how to request accommodations for testing. How do you go about that?
Yeah, that's can be a difficult thing for parents, and sometimes it's the student, him or herself, who tries to get those accommodations. The issue is that many organizations have made their own rules about it. So some insist on a doctor's note, some wants to see a diagnostic assessment, some want to see the school reports, And that is kind of making things difficult for students and their parents.
Yeah, they have to jump through a lot of hoops to
to know exactly what you need to do. So this link shows you all the ways that you can get accommodations for your son or daughter. And it's for the college board tests.
Okay.
Right? It gives you the forms. It explains exactly what you need to enter.
That is convenient.
That is very convenient. So having said that, luckily many colleges right now are going test blind. And then you don't have to jump through these hoops.
Right.
But it might still be an issue. The first round of testing when you are in your first year of college is quite intense.
Yeah.
And you need to start on day one to prepare if you need accommodations.
Yeah.
And make sure that you follow the process of that specific university or college. Now, luckily, most colleges have a learning disability department right now. Some of them even have counselors specifically trained to assist students. And I've actually come across one college who will assign you a personal coach.
A coach?
Yes, to help you through the process.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's wonderful. Now, it's really a matter of having recent, preferably the widely validated assessments. And you need to have that on file that can document your learning disability. So, don't be shy. Students deserve the support. So, work through the process and sit through the bureaucracy. It may have to make sure that you have similar options as your peers when getting tested in college. So really make use of these options.
Speak up for yourself, absolutely. Okay, well, that already brings us to our last link for the week. It talks about how dyslexia and dyscalculia can differ. So how is that?
Yeah, the research done here confirms that the dyscalculia population has difficulties in automatically associating numerals with magnitudes, but no problems in associating letters with phonemes.
Okay.
And that is the issue that the dyslexia population shows, right? So these have
opposite
patterns.
Oh, that's interesting. That is interesting.
When there is no comorbidity, obviously.
Right.
Now, this research actually goes back to 2006, but it was important to show the exact differences. Now, there was a little bit of an issue with opening the link, I think it has been restored. I could get into it easily.
Yeah, sometimes these links, they either expire or they keep working on it. Yeah,
sure. Well, actually, let me mention the full title. It says Double Dissociation of Functions in Developmental Dyslexia and Dyscalculia.
Okay.
And it was published in Educational Psychology. And like I said, it is a little bit of an older article, but I think it's very actual right now as there is more interest in adult dyscalculia, and here adults are described. So in general, if I may say so, people may question research like this. That sounds so obvious, right?
Yeah, like kicking open doors, right?
Right, but it is very important to actually have proof of something and be specific about these differences in learning disabilities, because it has an impact on work you do when you need to do remediation for those people. You need to know the exact details.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Dr. Schroeder, for sharing your wealth of knowledge and experience. Hope to see you again next week. Dr. Schroeder, the founder of Dyscalculia Services, and she is, of course, on a quest to recruit more dyscalculia tutors. And for that, she has designed full online training. And you can read all about that at dyscalculiatutortraining.org.
Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly is a production from dyscalculiaheadlines.com. You can find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com, and we are on Twitter at dyscalculiahead. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a board on Pinterest and on Flipboard. Search for Dyscalculia Headlines or follow the links on our webpage. You can send your questions, comments and contributions to communications@dyscalculiaheadlines.com, and we may even discuss it in one of our upcoming podcasts. We hope this was useful for you, and until next week, you can count on us.